Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280, The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Just past the 1 o'clock hour, final hour of the program. Live here at University Federal Credit Union, now in Utah County, here in Lehigh. 101 North, 1200 East, Suite A1. You can come by, hang out with us. Also, they're going to have other spots essentially popping up all over Utah County. Apparently, every branch they get to, they're getting closer to the Hans Olsen house. Because they're going Saratoga, yes, and then Eagle Mountain, and just kind of working right towards
Olsen
compound.
I'm just loving them for it. And it's just nice to have the University Federal Credit Union on this side of the mountain, because they do provide so many great services through each one of their branches and unique customer service. And you see how they're greeting people as they're coming through the door, Scotty. This isn't your bank that's all tight and bothered by every question. They're here to help you. And I love them. And I love them. I love them for moving out my way, that we're going to have more remotes. They're saying maybe even one remote per week in Eagle Mountain.
All I know is that the Davis County is available.
Yeah, but that's
for other branches.
They've been there for a while. We need to get, you know, traffic coming into these branches. So we could make this our home.
Just put a studio right in here.
That'd be nice.
All right, time to hear from Kyle Whittingham. All right, so you and I both believe it's going to be an okay day.
Yep.
Kyle Whittingham starts his press conference one of two ways every time. It's either all right or okay. All right seems to be when he's not quite as angry. Okay when he's a little bit more terse. So you and I both think it's okay. Let's get to it. Here's Kyle Whittingham.
Okay, frustrating loss down in Mount San Diego versus San Diego State down in Carson on Saturday. Offensively, just couldn't get anything going until late in the game. And fortunately, we were able to find a spark late in the game and mount a comeback. Obviously, fell short in that comeback attempt, but saw some really good things out of Cam Rising when he came in, provided a spark, not immediately, but after a couple series, he settled in and did some really good things, put up some good numbers for the quarter, a little over a quarter of play that he was in there for. Defensively, played well enough to win. I mean, you give up less than 250 yards and 12 first downs, you should win the football game. But we didn't, obviously. And so we've got to continue working, trying to find an identity on offense. And that really is our primary issue right now. Lost Viana Mawala for the season. That's going to be a season-ending injury, which is a blow to our defensive front. He was the leader of that defensive tackle group. He's not going to be able to play anymore this year. Special teams-wise, some good, some bad. The punt return unit continues to be a big bright spot for us. Britt Covey brought one back, and we amassed 100-plus yards in the punt return game, which is outstanding. As good as that was, the kickoff coverage was that bad. We let another one out the gate, and that's unacceptable. We got to, you know, needless to say, figure that out. And it was the same exact type of return, a break return, where they start one way and break it back across the field. And so we got to coach it better. We got to coach that better. And we're that's really, special teams-wise, our Achilles heel right now is that kickoff coverage unit. So that's the long and short of it. Washington State coming in this week, coming off a loss to SC. They were playing well up early in the game. In fact, they had the ball in great field position, up 14-0 with the opportunity to go up 21-0. And then everything just started to turn and ended up getting beat handily. But they played well for a period of time, a quarter and a half, and had them on the ropes. But SC, surged back and took control of the game. And so that was that. But got a home game. It's the Pac-12 opener. And so we're 0-0 in Pac-12 play. That's the mentality right now, as we got a fresh start. The non-conference games went nothing like we expected or anticipated. And now we're on to conference play. So questions.
Are you ready to announce the starting quarterback?
No, we won't do that. We have a solid idea what we're going to do, but we won't make any official announcement. And you just see him trot out there on Saturday at, what is it, 12:30 kick, I think it is.
Al, you talked about the offense needing an identity. Where do you think that stems from? Where do you go from there?
Well, that's a good question. That's the most important question we have in our program right now, and we haven't really been as physical running the football as we anticipated we were going to be. We're not throwing the football as for as much production as we need to. You know, we're not throwing it badly, but we're not getting out of it what we need to win games. Both sides of the line of scrimmage, you know, the one thing, not to answer you, not part of your question, but we played much better up front defensively in this last game than we certainly did the week before. But offensive line wise, we still got improvements that we can make, and we're better talent wise than what we're portraying on game day. And that's got to translate. We have got to portray and play to the level of our capabilities.
With that offensive line, you kind of made some adjustments when Cam came in as well.
Yeah.
How much of that is going to stay, and how much of that was maybe just Cam, or what was there?
That's another work in progress. We got to settle on the five, and we think we have a good handle on that right now after pouring over the tape and the first three games of tape. You know, we've studied everything meticulously, and we'll have a depth chart tomorrow for you. We'll announce that, and you'll see what we're thinking there.
I know that you guys were trying to throw the ball late in that fourth quarter when you guys didn't make that comeback, and so you guys went a little bit more up tempo, but it seemed to work. Are you guys thinking about maybe considering
more? Yeah, something that you got to think about for sure. And it was productive for us, as you mentioned. And I don't think it's necessarily the answer to go fast an entire game, but you got to mix tempos up a little bit, and that's something that we also have to take a hard look at.
You think to run the ball, do you have to be consistent in your approach as far as how many times you're going to run it and run it with the same people, with the same personnel?
I would say there's some merit to that or some validity to that, but really you got to not make mental mistakes so your guys are getting hit in the backfield 4 yards deep in the backfield, and that's a bigger issue right now than the continuity of it or trying to get a consistency. We can't get any consistency because we're making mental errors and turning guys loose, and that's really our main problem right now in the run game is mental errors, and then pass protection. We're not holding up as well as we need to in pass protection either, and that goes back to needing to play better at the line of scrimmage.
What's the mentality of the team right now after the non-con thing go like you thought it would, but as you mentioned, you still have an opportunity to do everything you want to do in conference?
Exactly. I don't think there's any signs of bad attitude, I guess you could say. You know, everybody's upbeat. Everyone's more angry and frustrated than they are despondent. And so we just got to come out. And the one thing I did notice the first two games is things didn't go great early, so we kind of got the deer in the headlight look in our eyes. We can't do that. You get a fight for the full 60, and if things don't go well early, oh, well, so what? Keep fighting. You know, keep playing and fight through the adversity, and nothing's easy at this level. Every week you line up, things are going to be hard, and it's hard to win a game. And so you got to be ready to stay focused and confident for the full 60 minutes.
I know there's no moral victories, but the fact that you guys battled back to a triple overtime that took replay review to cancel out that two-point conversion, was that encouraging?
It was. It was encouraging to see us get some catch some fire on offense and get some confidence and see those guys move the ball like they did and compete. That was a very positive thing to have happen.
Are you guys thinking about making any changes at kicker, or do you still believe in Jaden?
Still believe in Jaden. He's he's 60% for the year. Was he 3 of 5? I believe he is, or 4 of 6. Whatever, 66%, but he just missed the he came off his toe, the PAT that we pushed to the right, and then he just didn't hit the other one like he usually does, and so we have Jordan Noyes as the number two guy. He's a solid kicker, but right now we're sticking with Jaden at least at this point in time.
Coach, how do you make sure that that James' confidence stays at the level he is?
Well, he's a mentally tough kid, and kickers, you know, you got to forget, kind of like corners, forget what happened and just move forward and rely on your fundamentals and your technique, and that's really what everyone needs to do. You know, when stuff gets tough and you start hitting adversity in a game, well, you got to fall back on your fundamentals, your training. You know, just like the Navy SEAL thing, you know, you talk about that's part of their training is when the crap hits the fan, you go back to your training and understand what got you there and fight through it. So, same mentality.
How about the short-term fit?
We are not sure right now. That's a great question. If I had an answer for you right now, we may have an answer in the next couple of days. Right now, we don't have a definitive answer on what his status is going to be the rest of the season.
Shoulder? Upper body?
Upper body, yeah.
How important to you is it to have a quarterback that's vocal and as the leader of the team? Obviously, you've got somebody like Britton Covey who's clearly been around the program as the leader of the team, but how important is it specifically in that position to have somebody do that?
Well, it is important, and you can lead in different ways. But at that particular position, you'd like to have the guy be vocal and a guy that is an alpha dog type of mentality. Yeah, because you know, leading by example is great, but it doesn't seem to be work as well at the quarterback spot as it does at other spots.
Who are you guys looking to turn to now that Bione is out? Who are some of you guys?
Fortunately, we've got a pretty deep group of defensive tackles. We knew going into the season we had good depth there, and so between Devin Kafusi and Junior Tafuna, he played really well. He played really well on Saturday, and then you have the Putu Taos, Howard, Tennessee, and Fua, and then you have David Fotu, who's Lecky's younger brother, who we're toying with the idea of redshirting him, but we'll see if he gets pressed into action now. But we have plenty of bodies. It's just that you lose your number one tackle. That's even no matter what your depth is, that's never a good thing. But you gotta respond. Next man up, and away you go.
Do you like the players that are players only meeting yesterday?
I do, and I wasn't aware that it was going to happen until they came and talked to me afterwards, and it appeared to be very productive, and got some things hashed out, and I think it was a positive. We'll find out, if it helps us throughout the practice week and in the game, but it certainly is a indicator that there's a lot of care and investment by them to do that. Wasn't encouraged. They did it on their own.
Do the players see that it's only been 3 weeks, there's only been one conference game in the South, but the South teams have been all over the map?
Yeah, it was a rough week for the South, for sure, this week. I think USC was the only team that won. Because Arizona State lost, Colorado, us, UCF. It was 1-5 for the South, and so it's up for grabs. And I think we haven't had our team meeting yet today, but we'll certainly make that known that the South is is really no clear cut favorite, at least at this point in time.
Are you able to definitively say how much that 2020 season impacted this year? Obviously, five games helped. But mm-hmm. compared to maybe some of these other teams that got more exposure last year, have you seen that?
Well, we certainly would have liked two or three or four or five more games, but I don't know what you can't do anything about it, and we're grateful that we at least got five games because those games were desperately needed by our team. But more would have been better, but we didn't get more, so. What can you say?
You've always talked about you kind of know who you've got 3-4 games into the season. Mm-hmm. With so many question marks, do you know what you've got, and do you know what's there?
I think defensively we do. I think we seem to be starting to get our identity back, and really. You say it's only been three games, but we're back certainly in much better position than we were after the last contest as far as knowing who we are. But offensively is the big question right now. That's what we got to get solved. And if we can build on what we did in the last 7 minutes of the game in overtime, then that will be a big positive for us.
It's Kyle Whittingham addressing the media after back-to-back conference non-conference losses. As we mentioned, after the BYU game, Utah had not lost a non-conference game since 2012, nearly 10 years, and now they've lost back-to-back to BYU and now to San Diego State. This is a bit of a kick to the nether regions as Utah tries to find a way to get through this.
So that last comment there was very important from Kyle Whittingham. he said, we're going to try to do more of what we did in the final 7 minutes and those overtimes. Guess who was playing in those final 7 minutes?
He would not commit to a starting quarterback. However,
he did commit to a starting quarterback.
Why would I tip my hand?
Yeah. It needed to be changed. Brewer, over the last 2 weeks, has really looked like a deer in headlights and has had missed throws, awkward throws, weird attempts. And he's been hit, pressured, beat up. And it's like he's lost mentally. I don't know what to say for him. Weber State, things look good. Baylor, things look good. Transfer, spring ball, fall camp, things look good. He beat out Cam Rising.
Yeah.
Like, things looked good. And things are not looking good right now. I know that everybody deserves a share of that. Everybody deserves a share of how inept they've looked. But this is really beyond, especially in these last two games. Now, these are two good defenses that they played in these last two games.
Yeah.
BYU and San Diego State are very good defenses. Very tough to block. Very tough to play against.
Creative, aggressive. Don't show the same look over and over. I mean, they come at you at multiple different angles, so there's a lot that they do that can create problems there. But still, this is an offense that should be generating way more than what they've done.
Yeah. And Cameron Rising looked really good for moments when he did come in throwing against the blitz. And he had mistakes too, but it felt like the whole team looked better with him. And Frank and I talked about this in the Utah post game. A quarterback can make an offensive line look much better. Not complete, not perfect, but that's the same offensive line that was standing in front of Charlie Brewer that was playing in front of Cam Rising. But Cameron Rising, because he was throwing the ball quick and he was getting out of the pocket and he was doing the things that he needed to do, made them look a little better. And then Kyle talked about the offensive line situation. And, you know, I saw three or four different bodies roll in. I saw one guy that I've really felt like is going to be a good offensive lineman at some point. Bills is really, he's built well and seems like he'd be a good offensive lineman. He comes in for a series and ends up getting a holding call.
Yeah.
So everybody's making so many mistakes right now. This is a team full of mistakes. And hopefully they can shake out these mistakes and come back next week against a conference opponent and get this thing figured out.
I mean, I feel pretty good but I also felt good going into the San Diego State game. Thought, look, at the end of the day, Utah's got better athletes. Utah should be able to handle San Diego State. And San Diego State took it and pretty much dominated that game.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, outside of late when Cam Rising got that offense going, and then all of a sudden Utah woke up and took it into overtime, but still, it's like, hey, come on. Let's go. Wake up.
Do something. Yeah. Waited way too long.
It's like you're poking it with a stick, saying, come on.
Moving it along.
Yeah.
Tapping the back of the legs on a cow, trying to just get him to walk into a pasture. Just, yeah. Come on. Holding a carrot in front of a horse or an apple, trying to get him to walk along. Any other... I don't know. I forgot what we're talking about.
That's all we got, folks.
That's it.
All right. Gabe's with us once again as we're live here at University Federal Credit Union, now in Utah County. We are in Lehigh. And, Gabe, I know you love being down here. There's been a lot of fun listeners come by here. We had one of our listeners that came by and said, hey, look, my auto rate isn't where I want it to be. Can you guys help out? Those are the kind of questions. If nothing else, just come on down here and see what you guys can do to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. Our lending department's always on call. They're ready to, beat some rates out there too. So don't be afraid to come down and get a quote.
You know, everybody talks about refinancing your home. You refinance an auto loan, you can save a bunch of money per month as well. If you've had your car loan for, you know, let's say you got a 5-6 year loan and you're in year two or three and you're not even remembering what that rate was, well, chances are it's considerably less than what it was when you got it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you haven't refied in the last, I'd say, year and a half, you're paying too much.
And right now you'll kick in a $100 if you transfer over your auto loan.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll part of our $400 promo, we'll give you $100 cash if you refi an auto loan over $10,000.
And I saw that that's a pretty quick process.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. They basically just get a little bit of info about your employment, a little bit of info on the car, and bim, bam, boom. Depending on the person's ease of technology, we can sit down with them and do some paperwork, or they can do everything over DocuSign.
That could be a problem.
For some of us.
Yeah, they'll very still, simple, very fast.
They'll still hold your hand. We'll get you through.
Yeah.
Come on down, check it out. And again, $150 when you establish and use a direct deposit on your new account. $150 if you use your UFCU Visa card and debit card. I mean, there's all kinds of great incentives. It's it'd be foolish not to take advantage of it. 101 North, 1200 East, Suite A1 here in Lehigh. It is University Federal Credit Union. Beautiful new facility. Great staff ready to help you out. And we still have a little bit of Jazz gear left as well. Some shirts. Got a couple hats left. Let's get you geared up for the Jazz season right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Aggies, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Aggies square off against Boise State for a big Mountain West Conference battle at Maverick Stadium. Hear all the play-by-play action on the Zone Sports Network, beginning with a pregame show Saturday morning at 9. From Monday morning to all the play-by-play action, nobody brings you better coverage of Aggie football than 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview? Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans?
Recall.
It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall.
It's Total Recall with Hanson Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Hanson and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Total Recall, looking back at some of the big moments of today's show. It's been a fun one today. Mondays are always a blast. A lot of great listeners, a lot of great insight. You hear from Kalani Sitake, you hear from Kyle Whittingham. Tomorrow, you'll hear from Blake Anderson, head coach at Utah State. He will join us, as well as Jay Hill at Weber State. So we get your coaches covered from top to bottom on Mondays and Tuesdays. It's always a lot of fun.
How's this sitting with you?
He didn't even notice. He doesn't even know what's happening.
I listen to this song so much that it just feels like it's my background music.
Because when Cicada comes on, it's like...
It does. It makes things into a gear.
It
makes things feel right in the world. Like you cannot... I don't know how you can hear this song and not like this song.
I don't know either, but I don't. It's not my favorite. I don't know why.
But you have, I mean, it's not like you don't, like you have like a really negative reaction to this song.
Which to me seems
kind of benign.
Not overly deep and negative, but like I would never pull this song up and be like, let's listen to.
This is a song like, let's say I've got a bad day, like. You know what? Bosses are cranky about something. Had a budget review, and I blew out a budget, and I'm getting barked at. You know, Wes, the accountant's all mad at me. Sam, the lawyer's upset. Chris is upset, you know, and everybody's like, oh, you know, come on.
That day's never happened.
Well, not collectively. That would be a very bad day. But let's say, you know, it's a bad day. You go home, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to play a little Take It Easy, and things are going to be all right.
And that helps,
puts the mood in a good place.
I'm not dumb enough to think that John Cicada up against Take It Easy is going to get it in the song of the day. Like, it's not. I know
that. Oh, we got to start that.
I know. I really want to do it. And Johnny will submit his, and we'll do a poll of song of the day. Scotty and I are always looking for music to help people's kind of emotional state throughout the day.
So when okay, let's say you're at Weezer and or at BYU and you know some girl just broke your heart.
Yeah.
would you put on like a song to kind of an uplifting song, or would you just drown your sorrows in really horrible, sad music?
I've got the song, and it's Fiona Apple, and it's
Fiona Apple,
Head in the Clouds. Yeah,
really?
Oh yeah. When my heart was broke, it was Fiona Apple, Head in the Clouds, every time.
You know what it was for me? Was, and I didn't know it was a Neil Diamond song, but it's Chris Isaak, Solitary Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know.
Like I heard the Chris Isaak. I always thought it was him. I didn't know until years later that was actually Neil Diamond.
People are gonna attack me for the few. That kind of stuff. Yeah, this one. You heard the words in this?
Yeah.
Makes you feel better. No, this is Criminal.
This just got you in a good place, huh?
No, Head in the Clouds. No, it's not a good place. Scotty was asking when I've had a bad breakup, and I'm feeling angry.
Because when you had a bad breakup, it was either, you know, like, hey, things are going to be okay, you know, music, or just like, everything sucks. It's the worst ever.
I played some angry music.
So you just wanted to be a criminal then?
And then it took me 2 days, and then I was right back
at it. A day and a half, and then you'd fall in love with somebody else.
Day and a half. For sure.
Hey, can I make sure you get home all right?
What's up, Mama?
Sketchy guys around here. I'll make sure you get home all right.
I got you taken care of. In fact, why don't you, I got this Ford Taurus in the back. I might need you to help me back out of my parking spot, but I'll drive you home.
Yeah, if you could push, that'd be great. Now hop inside.
Doesn't have reverse. Not yet. But guess what? I'm never looking back. I'm always looking forward.
Always looking forward.
Looking forward to my life with you, honey.
Ah, I love it. Oh, that's so good. All right. Total Recall brought to you by Angora Solutions. From concept to product launch, Angora can help you build a stable revenue stream via your very own Amazon e-commerce platform. Find out now at angora.solutions. So with that, we look back on today's show with the big topic of the day. What's going on with the University of Utah? I've got one question. What's going on with this Utah football team?
Oh, that's one question that I can't answer with one answer. It's multiple. It's all over the place. So I only did a first half breakdown because that's where a lot of the issues were. And then there was a quarterback change out. And I haven't really looked at film with Cam Rising yet, but you saw that Cam Rising was able to spark some of that offense. And it felt like things were clicking more with Rising after that quarterback change. My assumption is we're going to see Cam Rising coming up next week against Washington State. I think you're going to see him starting at quarterback because Charlie Brewer's showing quite a few issues. Number one, he's showing, I would say, an unwillingness to look to the deep ball. So he'll throw underneath routes all day long, but there were a couple of times where, I think I put one or two in the film review. You saw open deep routes that he didn't throw. Instead, he pulled the ball down, kind of double clutched it, tried to move the pocket, and then tried to dump it down to lower routes. And one of those was in a 3rd and 9 situation where he dumped it about 3 or 4 yards short of the first down when he had an out route that was popping open. If he'd have just settled in the pocket and thrown it, he wasn't even under pressure. I know that everybody wants to just pick on Utah's offensive line and say that Brewer has never had time to even throw a ball. That would be inaccurate. He's had some pockets that he can throw a ball out of, and he's been wildly inaccurate at times. He's overthrown some routes. He's thrown a couple balls into the ground. There was one in particular where the blitz came a little bit late, but he had his receiver coming across the field and threw it into the ground. He took a hit and was able to complete the ball, but it was still wildly inaccurate. And so I don't know what's happening with Charlie Brewer. I kind of feel like mentally he's collapsing a bit. But
so, well, I don't know. I don't know. Sorry to say this in this kind of way. Is where Utah, where quarterbacks go to die? Because let's be honest here. I mean, Jake Bentley threw for 3,100 yards and 27 touchdowns at South Carolina. He comes to Utah and can't complete a 15-yard out.
Yeah.
Charlie Brewer throws for 9,000 yards, leads a team to a New Year's Six game in Baylor, and comes to Utah. Yep. And for some reason, can't seem to complete a deep ball or lost any kind of mojo he had when he came here. I mean, okay. I don't mean to be as blunt as that, but, I mean, what's going on here?
Okay, so I love and appreciate the question. I think that the question is solid. But I've got a sample size of one individual. Tyler Huntley in Andy Ludwig's offense showed us, and I don't know if you can pull up Tyler Huntley's numbers.
No, I'm with you. I'm talking transfer quarterbacks.
No, yeah. I get exactly what you're saying. But if I'm seeing it from Huntley, then I should be able to see it from Brewer. I should be able to see it from Bentley. I should be able to see it from Cam Rising. I do think that they're – I'm not even going to really attack the offensive play calling too much, even though it was the final drive of the first half. Scotty, it was 3rd and 11, and they were kind of backed up, and they'd had multiple penalties, a holding call, an offsides call that pushed them back and back, and then they got a short gain on a second down to get them to 3rd and 11, and then Andy Ludwig calls a power blast. There's still a minute and 40 seconds left. It was tied 10-10. And I don't know, maybe you wanted to get a couple yards to get yourself in a position to punt, but he called a blast on a 3rd and 11. That tells you that he didn't trust the pocket, didn't trust his quarterback, didn't trust his receivers, and said, just give the ball to a running back and let's get out of this. I don't know what he was thinking. But you still have nearly 2 minutes, and you call a blast. You know, it really wasn't even a counter look. It was just a downhill run. And that tells a lot. That tells me a lot, and what Andy Ludwig was thinking in that moment. And Utah fans will look at it and be like, "Why would you call the power blast there? Why don't you build a pocket and throw a ball, see if you can get a first down and continue the drive? Maybe kick a field goal, get 3 points before you head into halftime." I'm with you, but I'm not really going to attack Andy. But your question is valid because we are now seeing Brewer tumble. I thought he had good drop-offs against Weber State, but there is one question that we've been throwing out since day one, Scotty, and that is, why is Brewer not throwing the deep ball? Why are we not seeing him throw the deep ball? Are his receivers just not getting open in the deep ball? Well, I saw one that was – it would have been about a 18 to 22-yard pass out of him if he just stepped in the pocket to deliver it, and he didn't do it. I don't know if he doesn't have confidence that he can't do it, but he didn't do it. So that just destroys your offensive game plans if you got a quarterback that isn't willing to do it. On the reverse of that, you saw Cam Rising come in, and you saw him throw a strike, about a 24-yard strike that ended up for a touchdown. Threw it right into the blitz. Blitz came. He had man coverage. Nobody over the top. I can't remember if it was over zero or if safety went field side, because I think he threw short side. And he just hucked that thing into the blitz. Perfect pass, touchdown, looked great.
There you go, looking back at this Utah team as they try to regroup and try to find a way to get things back on track hands, because back-to-back non-conference losses, that's just not something we see from Kyle Whittingham teams. This is not usual.
And, you know, Kyle Whittingham is going to make things so uncomfortable in the coaches' offices, in the team meetings. Life is just going to be horrible until they get themselves back on the winning path. And that's how it should be. You know, I know head coaches have a responsibility for carrying morale, and they definitely want to provide a positive picture for what a team is capable of and a positive future for the team and the staff. But on the same side of that is you've got to win.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham knows that. He has to win. And it's his job, and it's the staff's job. The players are going to get to keep their scholarships, and they get to keep getting their college paid for, but those coaches have a lot on the line. So he's taking it serious, and you're going to see some offensive line jumble. You're going to see a quarterback change out. You're going to see he's got to figure out his running backs.
Yeah.
Mekhi Bernard's doing a good job. He's doing a pretty darn good job, but he didn't hand it to Tavian. There was one carry for 0 yards. So a couple fumbles has put Tavian in the doghouse. Maybe he can get out of it. I don't know. My guess is with one carry was that he fumbled at some point during the week of practice or or something. I don't even know who your backup running back is at this point.
But, yeah, if you're Kyle Whittingham right now, you're right. There's a lot of uncomfortable people up there, from players to coaches to everybody, because everything's got to be reevaluated, because this is not what we've seen out of University of Utah football. This is not how things usually go, and I'm sure this is something that's going to be addressed in a big, big way. All right, final segment coming up next. Hans and Scotty. By the way, coming up on the big show, you're going to hear from Tanner Mangum coming up at 3 o'clock. Our good friend Frank Dolce will join them coming up at 4 o'clock as well. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to bring in Nick Ford, the Youth Center.
For you guys who've been around, you're used to being 3-0 at this point in the season. It's been a long time since you weren't. How different does it feel now as you start conference play, basically to not be 3-0?
We're pissed off for greatness. It's not something, you know, you can sit here and dwell on, because it will topple everything over. And looking at it the way we're looking at it, we know our mistakes. We know what we have to fix. We know what we have to get done. And we still have an opportunity to turn everything around. You know, it's still 9 games of conference play. We're 0-0 right now as we see it. That's why I say the team is very optimistic right now and willing right now, because we see what we have in front of us. We understand what just happened, and we understand that we cannot continue to let that happen.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We'll call it 6. Aggies need to get to the 35 for a first down. Peasley looking long. Has DT there. Caught. He's off to the races. Here we go. 20. They won't catch him. 10. 5. That is a Utah State touchdown. Peasley hits Devin Tompkins in stride, and the Aggies get the points they desperately need. Wow. Oh, indeed, Kevin. That is your Titan of the Game, brought to you by Tim Daly Nissan in Murray, home of the auto warranty that doesn't quit. It's endless. It's perpetual. It is forever. Your Titan of the Game. Devin Tompkins is your Titan of the Game.
Nearly 200 yards of receiving.
He's now the leader in the country in reception yards. He's got 458 yards of total of receiving yards.
Wow. Did any of us take him?
No, we did not.
Oh, that's going to be bad.
Yep.
I thought I picked a good receiver, but I did not.
I did not.
Yeah, here's the, let's see here. Devin Tompkins, 25 catches, 454 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He's almost halfway to 1,000 yards 3 games into the season. Oh, and by the way, it's not as if, you know, one guy has like a crazy game and then you don't hear from him and like, whoa, look at these 3 games. Here's his 3 games he's had this season. He had 94 against Washington State, 172 against North Dakota, and 188 against Air Force.
Two touchdowns against Air Force. Where did his other – you said 4, right?
3 touchdowns. He's had a touchdown in each game.
Oh, one in each game.
Yeah, that game-winning catch against Washington State, one against North Dakota, and then, of course, that one.
He's electric. Can't wait to watch him. I will be taking a better look at this Utah State Air Force game, as well as BYU Arizona State. I'll be doing that film review tomorrow morning. So, John, I'll have that up. And just if you're looking for some of the answers as to what happened with University of Utah, Johnny Lightfoot has posted those video reviews at 1280thezone.com. Go to the website, click on the Hans film review logo at the top of the page, and you'll have all 10 of those right in front of you. You can see everything from giving up the kick return for a touchdown to where the pressures are coming from to, Scotty, to why guys were getting hit as they were getting the ball handed to them in the offensive backfield. Like, I broke down so many different plays that shows you where some of the hiccups are coming from offensively and on special teams. So, again, go to 1280thezone.com. And you'll find that on the Hans film logo. And then tomorrow, Scotty, I will have BYU Arizona State videos that we can throw on the Hans film and send out tomorrow.
And by the way, if you don't think home field advantage matters, Arizona State offensive coordinator at his press conference today talked about all the false starts that they had.
Yeah.
Said our guys weren't able to hear Jaden's clap. And so we had to transition into a different form of snapping the football. That crowd got to us a bit. They rattled us a bit. And then the problems just compounded.
That's awesome. I sent out a tweet and just told the fan base that was as much disruption as I've seen a fan base cause in a game ever. Arizona State couldn't do anything. They had to audible and they had to change things. And that BYU fan base in these first two home games have been as raucous and as powerful and as effective as I've ever seen a fan base be on a college football game.
Yep. All right, wrapping up this edition of the show. Fun Monday, as always, and it was fun to hang out here at a brand-new location here in Lehigh for University Federal Credit Union. And Gabe's been great letting us invade his space, smell up the joint, cause all kinds of problems. His employees are upset, but we're leaving now. But you can still come on by and take advantage of so many great opportunities. I love the way that you're just giving people $400 just for being a part of the University Federal Credit Union.
Yeah, absolutely. We're running our Step Into $400 promotion. So folks can earn $150 bringing their direct deposit over, another $150 using their Visa credit card or debit card, and then $100 for refinancing their vehicle. And they're already going to save money refinancing their vehicle, so it's actually more than $100. So
exactly, because you know, if somebody signed up or got their car loan maybe a year, 2 years ago, 6 months ago, who knows? And rates are so fickle that you never know when they're going to jump back up. So you got to take advantage of while they're low right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Rates are at historic lows still. They've gone up just a hair, but we're still very competitive out there in the market. And you know, I encourage folks to come and get a quote.
Just nice to have University Federal Credit Union in this area, and not only here, but we'll be out at Eagle Mountain later this week, and you know, we've got locations that are popping up out this way, and I just want people to come and see why it's the best when it comes to credit unions, why this is the best.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We're a local credit union. All our executives are local. All the folks that you meet, you know, are talking to on the phones are local. So it's great to finally branch out into Utah County. And our Saratoga Springs branch should be opening first quarter in 2022. So we're excited to be able to service those folks out there too.
101 North, 1200 East, Suite A1. Real easy to find here in Lehigh. Come by. Let's go. Get you squared away. Put some money in your pocket. Save some money with your rates. And be with a credit union that enjoys that personal touch. You go to big banks and you're a number. You're a spreadsheet. You're not a person. Here, you're a person. You got a great staff here that's ready to help people out.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Love it. Come on down here, University Federal Credit Union. Hans, back with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Big show coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.